If you have your bulletin or your program, if you flip it over on the back side, there'll be four things I want to share with you this morning about being thankful or demonstrations of thanksgiving. The first one I get is from verse 1 here. And so we demonstrate thanksgiving by shouting triumphantly. Shouting triumphantly is a way that we can express thanksgiving. The King James Version says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Then our Pew Bible says to shout triumphantly. Now this word shouting, we know what the word means, but literally this word means to split an ear. To split an ear. Now that's not talking about with a knife, but we have a foster son named Tyler. And so I would challenge you to come over to my house sometime and use that horrible cuss word that has two letters in it, spelled N-O. Now, that's a horrible word, but when you use that word, I'm not going to imitate it. You need to experience it. But Phil kind of got a little dose of it this week. But he has this ear-splitting sound that comes out of his mouth. And that's what this word means, to shout triumphantly, to be so excited that we shout so loud that if you get too close to me, I'll break your eardrum. We're so excited about God. Now we know what this word, shout, means. The word triumphant means that the word needs to pay attention to here, that we need to show great happiness. And so it's not necessarily, especially here, an anger shout like you might hear at my house, but it's a shout of happiness and excitement, of a jubilation. It would be like a little boy who's been taken away from his mother and seen his mother for the first time in a month or two and just, "Ah, Mom," and just start screaming. And so it's a word that just brings excitement to us. It's a word that expresses joy over a victory. Whatever your victory may be, it may be at the end of the year that we've lost some weight and we're going to shout and celebrate, or maybe you've got out of debt and you're going to praise the Lord and shout exuberantly so everybody can know it, or whether you're getting married or whatever. It's a sign of a great joy of an achievement or a great victory that's been won. It's an awesome word to shout triumphantly. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. That God is here, that He is the Lord of the whole world, of the whole universe. There's some excitement in that. Now, not only is this word to shout triumphantly a word that shows or demonstrates a result of an achievement of victory, but it's also a tribute of praise. What they used to do. The king would come riding in, and often if we read about King David and his sons, be coming riding in, and I think it was a white mule as he would enter the city. And when the king would come into the building, the place there that opened up the gates, and the people would shout triumphantly, praising the king for the victory that he won, or just the fact that they're in the presence of a king. And so this word shout triumphantly has that message for us that we are in the presence of God and we cannot be silent. One of the verses I love to refer to, as Jesus was going into Jerusalem his last time, if we were a speed up to Resurrection Day or Easter, as he's coming into town and the people are singing and shouting triumphantly, "Hosanna to the Son of David," and "Praise to the Messiah," and the people were excited. The priest and the Levites and those people that were against Jesus says, "You know, you ought to calm the crowd down." And Jesus says, "Hey, if these people don't shout for joy," you guys remember what he says? "The rocks are going to cry out." All of God's creation, there's going to come a time when everything is going to be shouting, ear-splitting praise God, we're in His presence. Whether in heaven or whether He comes down here to take us home, there is that excitement. That's what these words mean. And so that demonstration of thanksgiving is by shouting triumphantly. Now, I'm not going to encourage you to shout this morning. I do encourage you, along with Phil, to sing, make a joyful noise, the shout. Now, I want to think that this shouting of triumphantly is a natural occurrence when we recognize that we're in the presence of God, the Almighty God. You know, sometimes something happens and we just can't be quiet. We're so excited. It was awesome. I don't know what brings excitement to you, but you know, it could be the best piece of pie that you've ever eaten, or maybe it's the best movie that you've ever seen, or whatever it might be, but you just can't keep quiet. You're so excited. And that's what it's talking about here in verse 1. The demonstration of thanksgiving is for us to shout triumphantly. And sometimes we do that. We shout, amen. Or we shout, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, or we use some type of expression as we're shouting unto the Lord and praising Him. It's a common thing for us to do. It's a natural occurrence for us to do, to shout to the Lord. And that's what verse 1 is. The second thing, as we look for demonstrations of thanksgiving, one is to shout triumphantly. But the second thing is we demonstrate thanksgiving by serving with gladness. Serving with gladness. I think every one of us could think about a time when we were forced to do something. And when we are, sometimes we have a frown on our face. Sometimes we grit our teeth. Sometimes we talk to ourselves about whoever made us do it. And whatever it might be, we're just not always happy about doing something. But here we find a thing here in verse 2. Look at this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. The music does something to us to pick us up. The recognition that we're in the presence of God does something to us. And so here we are coming before the Lord to sing praises to His name with gladness. Back in the 1960s and 1970s, some of you may not have been around then, some of you may not be able to remember those days, but there was an evangelist by the name of Bob Harrington. He was from Louisiana, from New Orleans. He was called the Chaplain of Bourbon Street. And so he was a preacher that I loved to watch and to listen to. He had a lot of energy and excitement about him, carried a big red Bible, and I believe he wore white shoes when he did all of this. And at the same time, there was a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hara. And some of you may recall that name. Maybe you don't remember her especially. But she was the lady that, I think, sued the government, took prayer out of schools, and she was an atheist, and she was always up to something. I remember one day, I think it was on the Phil Donahue show, that Bob Harrington and Madeline Murray O'Hara were having a debate. And so Bob would say something about praise the Lord and God did this and blah, blah, blah. And Madeline Murray O'Hara would say, yeah, but God did, there is no God and He couldn't have done this. And why did this happen? And they went back and forth and back and forth. And as I recall, you know, I was just a young child at the time, but as I recall, neither one won the argument. And so finally it came down to the end. And Bob Harrington says, hey, bring that camera over here. Look at this. This is what God does. And he just kind of glowed. And he said, now look at her. And so they took the camera and turned to Madeline Murray O'Hara. And she and said, that's what the devil does. And so as I think about that, that's what I see here in Psalms 100. We can be all grumpy because we don't believe in God. Or we can say, look what God has done. And we can shout triumphantly. We can serve the Lord with gladness, coming to His presence with thanksgiving. In every nation, I have not been to every nation, but I believe with all my heart that in every nation, the goodness of God can be seen, which will be followed by joyful service. We see what God has done. The blessings that God has... Oh, yeah, we can find all all kinds of problems. We can find injustice within our own country. We can find poverty. We can find sickness. But somewhere in every single country, we can see the goodness of God, and we can focus in on the positive rather than the negative. And so when I look at verse 2 and I see this serving the Lord with gladness, this is a willing to serve is to occupy my entire life. It's not just I'm going to do it on Sunday. I'm just going to serve God when I'm on a mission trip. I'm only going to serve God when there's potluck dinner. You know, it's not that, but it's a lifetime commitment of serving God, giving all that we've got. He is our Lord, and He is to be served. And as we serve Him with joy in our heart. What a great delight. It's a joy because we recognize who it is. I don't know exactly how to illustrate this, but sometimes we don't like what we have to do. And so whether it be feeding the homeless or whether it be cleaning up a neighbor's yard or doing something, we get out there and we do it because we feel like we have to do it. But on the other hand, sometimes there's things that we want to serve. When we fall in love with our spouse, future spouse, you know, we just want to do something special for them. And we want to give, we want to do something. And that's what this is coming down to. It's not something that we have to do, but with joy and excitement, we're doing this. I was talking to Taylor last night, something in the conversation about loving people. And I says, do you want someone to love you? I said, do you want your mother to love you because she has to? Or do you want your mother to love you because she wants to? And you know, there's a big difference there. When you have to do something, you just kind of lose that joy and that excitement. But when you choose to love, and so God has chosen to love us, and we choose to love Him, and so with great joy and excitement that we can serve Him with gladness. Maybe the question ought to be, how do we serve the Lord? Phil asked the question, how do we demonstrate thanksgiving? So I'm going to ask, how do we serve the Lord? Maybe we serve the Lord by leading in worship. Whether you're in the choir, whether you're playing the piano, whether you're reading the scripture, whether you're taking up the offering, in leading in worship is a way that we can serve the Lord with gladness. And so I try to tell people when they get up here, try to smile. I used to be a music director, and I had a choir, Phil, a long time ago. And before the choir would do anything, I'd kind of, okay, calm down, okay, stand up. They'd all stand up there. And before the pianist did anything, I would look at the choir. No one can see me but the choir. And I'd go, smile. And then I'd do the music. Now, I'm not a musician. I didn't study that. I just kind of got put in that position. But serving the Lord with gladness as we lead Him. Another way that we can serve the Lord with gladness is by teaching the Bible to our children. Right now, Barbara and Kenna have the kids over in the education building teaching them the Bible. And we don't want to do that because, wow, did you hear how noisy those kids were last Sunday night? Let's get rid of them. Let's put them over in another. We're not doing it because we want to get rid of them. We're doing it with excitement because we want to teach them, serving the Lord, teaching the children about God and His love. We can also serve the Lord with gladness by discipling the followers of Jesus. There's a lot of people who claim to be a follower of Jesus, but they've never been discipled. They've never been in a Bible study. They've never sat down on that one-on-one lesson about learning about God. And so this is a way that we can serve the Lord with gladness as we help people grow in their faith. We can also serve the Lord with gladness when we share our faith with other people. You know, sometimes we do it out of guilt. We go out and we have to go door to door, start witnessing and doing things. Well, and it should be out of excitement, wanting to share our faith with other people. I remember Justin Grove, our chaplain, who's over in the Middle East, and Adrian Martin, our deacon, who moved over to Phoenix. On Halloween, after we give away all the candy, we have candy left over. And I said, okay, guys, I want you to take this, and I want you to go door to door. And, you know, their eyes kind of get big. The thought of going door to door, for some of us that are shy, is just kind of, you know, wow. And I said, okay, I want you to go door to door in our neighborhood, and I want you to say, treat and no trick. And I want you to give away candy door to door. Instead of asking for candy, let's give it away. And so they would submit to the authority of their pastor, and they would go door to door. And when they came back, the excitement they had about telling us about who they saw, what they got to talk about, and how grateful people were in what we were giving away. Serve the Lord with gladness as we share our faith with other people. Now, it's not just giving away candy, but they shared a track and talked with them about Jesus. We can also serve the Lord with gladness as we help others in Jesus' name. And helping come in so many different ways. I was driving through a parking lot down at CVS this week, and I noticed a mother and daughter had the back of their SUV open. Looking, oh, that's kind of, because they're looking like they're lost. So I didn't know if they were breaking into the thing and stealing something or what they were doing. And so I left. I got down probably about five rows of cars when I just felt like, Alan, you need to go see what's going on. So I made a big circle, came back, and rolled down my window. And by this time, they had left the back of the car, and they're at the front of the car, and they had the hood open, and they're just standing there. I don't know if these were people of faith praying that something would happen. God zapped this car or something. And so I says, you guys need some help? Oh, yes, would you please give us a jump? I says, that's not a problem. So I just pulled right in there, jumped it, you know. Serving the Lord with gladness. And these ladies got so excited that their car started, they got to go home, I don't know, whatever they were doing. But just serving the Lord with gladness. Not out of drudgery. Oh, man, I got to lift up the hood of my car. What if they get the wires crossed and my battery explodes? Or what if they get my car dirty? Or what if they're going to rob me or something? You know, out of gladness, serving the Lord. Oh, there's lots of ways that we can demonstrate thanksgiving by serving the Lord with gladness. Oh, there's a third way. Third way is found in verse 3 and verse 5. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us. We are His. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. And then verse 5. For Yahweh is good. His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. And so the third way that we can demonstrate thanksgiving is by acknowledging God. Yahweh, God, is the shepherd of His sheep. As I think about this, I think that our worship is to be intelligent. What does that mean? Well, it means that we need to know who we are worshiping. And we come together to worship God. His name is Yahweh. We find it here. We find that back in Genesis as Moses had, or Exodus, as Moses was talking to God through the burning bush. We recognize who God is. And God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We come together to worship one God and one God only. And this is how He has revealed Himself. And so our worship is to be intelligent. We need to know who we're worshiping, and we need to know how to worship. Whether we're singing praises to His name, or whether we're serving the Lord with gladness, or whether we're giving thanks unto Him, recognizing, acknowledging that we are His. He made us. He created us. Next week, I'm going to say He's going to sustain us. He's going to keep us going. And so it just goes on and on about who He is. Verse 5 says, God is good. We know that. We say that here. God is good. We respond by saying, all the time, God is good. But do we ever think about the goodness of God and how He has blessed us? Jesus was called, O good man, one time. And He turned to the guy and says, hey, there's no one good but God. And so God is good. It says that in verse 5, He's good. It also talks about His love. His love is eternal. I tell you, I've been in the ministry for 46 years. I've been around for 65 years. And I've seen a lot of people whose love has grown cold. I've seen people who are so excited they got married. I married a couple one time. They're so excited, so in love with each other. 2 weeks later, they got divorced. You know, that the love just kind of vanished if they had real love. And boy, we just don't know what's going on. But God loves us eternally. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we're from. God loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's amazing, the eternal love of God. Now, maybe you've experienced a love growing cold, but you will never experience God's love growing cold. It is eternal. But He gives us one more thing there, and that is, He says that His faithfulness endures through all generations. I've made the statement before, when I think about all of the attributes of God, when we think about how He is omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's immutable, we think about everything that God is. For me, the greatest thing that I like is the fact that God is faithful. We can count on Him. You know, when you have a car and you're going to the grocery store and you get all excited, you buy all your groceries, you go out to the car and the battery's dead, don't you just get frustrated with the unfaithfulness of this car? Some of us experience it quite often. You know, there's something about my personality. I love faithfulness, whether it be in my car or whether it be in relationships that I have or whatever it might be. And so here we find that God's faithfulness endures through all generations. And so we can always count on God. Now, this sums up part of God's character. Now, He's more than this, but it just kind of sums it up. And that gives us a reason to praise Him. So whether we're shouting triumphantly, whether we're serving Him with gladness, or whether we're giving Him thanks, we're praising the Lord. There's one more way that we can demonstrate our thanksgiving, and that is by worshiping gratefully. Coming together to worship, not because we have to, but because we want to. We must give thanks to God for His awesome mercy. When we think about our life, the sins, and how He forgives us, and how He adopts us into His family, we just get excited about what He's done for us and His mercy. It results in worshiping God. A chief characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ is gratitude. Grateful for God's love, that He would love someone like me. Grateful for His grace, undeserved gift that He would give to us, His only begotten Son. And grateful for His blessings as He pours out His blessings upon us. Now, I don't know if we all know what the word blessings mean, but every night I put Tyler to bed and I pray for him. And for some reason, I just say, God, thank You for all the blessings that You've given to us. Now, this is me talking. I put my hand on his head and I just say, God, thank You for all the blessings. So this last week, I told you a week ago he started praying. This last week, as I put him to bed, he says, I want to pray now. And so he says, God, thank You for Your blessings. Now, I don't think he knows what that means. Maybe he's just mimicking me. But what a blessing it was for me to hear this 4-year-old boy say, God, thank You for the blessings You've given to us. God has been good to us, and He has blessed us beyond measure. And it results in worshiping God. Thank You for Your blessings, Father. Paul gives us two verses that I like about thanksgiving. The first one, Audrey read that this morning. If you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, page 1079 in the Pew Bible. Audrey read, starting in verse 15, I'll go ahead and read that and try not to preach it. I like it. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk. Boy, there's a good lesson there. Not as the unwise, but as the wise. Make the most of the time, Don't waste it. Make the most of every moment you've got to do something beneficial for you and for others and for God. Don't waste your time. Make the most of it, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk on wine or beer or anything other kind of alcohol, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is what I want to say. The next few verses are going to give us three results. When the Holy Spirit has filled our lives, three things will happen. Number one, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making music from your heart to the Lord. And so I want to say that that would be shouting triumphantly, making a joyful noise, as King James says in Psalms 100. Make that joyful noise unto the Lord. So we shout triumphantly, we make that joyful noise, we sing hymns, songs, spiritual songs, making music, and from our heart, not just with a verbal thing, but from our heart as it comes out in praise of God. That's the first thing that happens. When the Holy Spirit's in control of you, you're going to be, another word that could sum all that up, is you're going to be worshiping God. The second thing that happens when the Holy Spirit is in control of your life, giving thanks always for everything. Now, there's two big words. You know, I'm real picky on words, and when someone comes up and says something to me, I ask them to define that word, or I say, wow, that's kind of a big word. Let's think about that. Paul uses two big words, giving thanks always. That's a big one. Wow, what does it mean, always? Always, you know, for everything. Well, wait a minute, everything. Give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Holy Spirit is in control of you, back to verse 18, the result is going to be you're going to be thankful. You're going to be giving thanks. Whether it be a verbal thank you or whether it be some other type of demonstration, there's going to be some gratitude that characterizes your life. And the third thing that happens in verse 21 is submit to one another in the fear of Christ. When the Holy Spirit has control of you, you don't want to be in control. You don't mind submitting to someone else. It's a joy to serve others gratefully and with joy and with gladness. And so here we find the results of that. So I like what it says here in verse 20 especially, giving thanks always for everything. Another verse that I like is found over in 1 Thessalonians. It's gone page 1088. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to start with verse 16. It says, rejoice always. And so I think when we know that God is in control, when we know that God is all powerful, and when we have submitted to Him, rejoice always. And so even in a difficult time, we can rejoice. Maybe not for what happened, but in that situation, we can rejoice, because God will never leave us or forsake us. If you read the Bible with me this morning from James, He'll never leave us. He's always going to be there. Goes on, verse 17, pray constantly. Next year, our theme is going to be praying and being a people of prayer and talking to God, communing with Him. Pray constantly, so we can always pray. Verse 18 is where I want to focus in, and it says to give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, giving thanks. I love the way Paul says it. Over and over, always give thanks, and give thanks in everything. It doesn't say necessarily that for everything. I don't have to thank Him for the thorn that's in my foot, but I can thank God I have nerves, and I can feel that thorn so I can get the thorn out. And so whatever it might be, giving thanks to God characterizes us, who we are. As we get ready to end the year, we've got 41 days left or thereabouts till the end of the year. As we get ready for the end of the year, what are you thankful for? I'm not asking if you wrote it down on your calendar, but I just kind of wonder sometimes, as we finish off 2017, what are we thankful for? As we get together this week and celebrate Thanksgiving, now we have some food baskets we're going to give away to four different families and so forth. But really, what are we thankful for? For the pilgrims? Are we thankful for our country, the freedom? Are we thankful for God's bountiful blessings upon us? What are we thankful for? Can we express our gratitude in a different way? And that is by living a life for Christ. If we're truly grateful, we'll demonstrate it. You know, I've had my grandkids with us for 3 years, and now we have foster children with us. And often I hear the words, "I'm sorry." And when I hear those words, I often reply with, "If you're really sorry, you'll change." Let me say also, I hear the word often, "Thank you." And I try to make the same comment, "If you're really thankful, then prove it." And so as we celebrate Thanksgiving, as we think about Psalms 100 and being thankful, coming into the God's presence with thanksgiving in our heart, it's not just a verbal. Yes, verbal expressions are important, but it's not just a verbal expression. Can we demonstrate our gratitude by living a life for Jesus Christ? You see, it's all about Him. He has blessed us with His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His love. Can't we give it back to Him as we worship Him? Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your holy word. I thank you for Psalms 100 and how that has spoken to my heart for 46 years. I've loved that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God, I pray that we'll make some noise, whether it be verbally or our life demonstration will be so loud that people will know that we've been in your presence, that you've transformed us into new creatures, and they too can know you as we do. So please bless us and help us today. Father, as we close the services, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything, and may thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to close our services in the same way we always do.